Episode 31, NFL Draft Podcast.
Bam Bam Cam Chancellor.
I had no idea. You said Bam. I'm like, are we going into March Madness? Like, what's happening here?
Cam Chancellor, 31.
31, okay. Yep. That's good. He's good. He's good.
Yeah. Hi, Rob DeRay.
Hi, Stan Talley. How's life?
Good. Combine's over.
Yeah, combine's over. Pro days are going. Anything interesting happening? Mike Williams. Mike Williams had his pro day. He ran somewhere between a 4.49 and a 4.57 based on these, you know, random clocks and reports that people have.
Why don't people have the same clock? I don't care. It doesn't matter. But
he's fast enough.
He is very fast. Yeah.
Let's assume that it's somewhere around the 5.55, which kind of probably means the 4.55, which kind of means like a 4.6 because everybody adds a little bit of time because pro days are usually faster than the combine.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably under 4.6. That's kind of what he needed to clear. Like he just had to make sure that this guy is not slow.
All right. And he's 6'4". Like, legit. All
right. Yeah. I know. You're excited. You were telling me you were excited about him.
Yeah.
Is he your number one receiver?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Totally fair.
But it's close.
Between him and who?
Only because I want to say Corey Davis, but I haven't seen enough of him. I mean, obviously he hasn't worked out and he's hurt.
We'll get to that.
But I think John Ross is right there.
Yeah. I don't know.
Running a 4.22, like, kind of, that's going to stick with me.
No, I get it. Mike Williams, I was happy with the way he ran. I mean, it doesn't really change things. I went back and looked at a little bit of his tape against Ohio State. And he kind of beat up on the corners there.
Mm-hmm.
I already had him ranked ahead of Marshon Lattimore. That's a whole me thing. No one agrees with me. That's fine. I had him ranked below Garyon Conley. I think I'm going to move him ahead of Garyon Conley. It's one thing when it's a corner and a receiver, and it's hard to just see how Mike Williams was able to dominate that game and say, well, Garyon Conley is a better player. It's like, mm-hmm. Kind of proved that he wasn't. But they were similar. They were ranked like one spot apart before. So, all right. That's my whole spiel. Doesn't matter. Not a ton of news. I mean, yeah. We covered Sidney Jones' injury last week.
He might not be ready to, like, camp.
They said he would. He's not going to be ready for camp, but they said he might play in 2017. Might be a partial tear.
Oh, that's right. They were saying, yeah, he could be a redshirt.
But it could be a redshirt. It might not be as bad. I did want to talk about a few. There was a report this week about Reuben Foster. I don't know if you heard it. Reuben Foster.
Did he walk out of another workout?
No, he didn't. But this is on NFL.com. No, I'm sorry. This was from Monday Morning Quarterback, Peter King's article, or whoever writes the Monday Morning Quarterback now from Peter King's site. Spoke to a scout on a team that has a top 15 pick. Make of that what it may. Who do you think that is? But he's drafting in the first half of round one. Here's the quote. He already had immaturity issues with life skills. Immaturity issues with life skills. This is the same guy. We're not in the market. The report is that this team has taken him off the board.
You want me to guess who it is?
I don't want you to guess who it is. I just want to say, you've seen Foster play.
Mm-hmm.
You know that I flirted with having him as the number one overall player on the board.
Mm-hmm.
There is a team drafting high enough that they might have a chance to take Foster since he's been mocked as low as 11 to the Saints, 14 to the Eagles, like the lowest we've seen him. This team might have a chance to draft him and have taken him off the board the way other teams have taken off Joe Mixon, whoever, off the board for his issues dealing with immaturity, stemming from this is before the combine. The quote said that even before the incident at the combine, they took him off the board.
What problems did he have before the combine?
It was, you know, reports of he was not involved, but he was at a club where there was like a triple homicide at one point.
Okay, well.
I'm just letting you know, like, what's happening. There was some issues, I guess, with the interviews that he couldn't really draw up plays and that he wasn't necessarily that he would limit, like, limited in what he was able to do in the Alabama defense. Like, things were simplified for him.
So he's dumb. He's dumb and immature.
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
Still
just
dumb. Still stupid to take him off your board. He's still very good at football.
He's very good.
Like, the team that said that, I would assume, is a team that's going to continue to lose. Because if you have a guy with that kind of talent, wouldn't you just try harder to simplify things for him and allow him to grow up?
I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. And additionally, Matt Miller of Bleacher Report, you know, his article this week, what's that? We're doing this, taping this on March 22nd, Wednesday. Mm-hmm. His article this morning, you know, discussed a few players that have issues besides the tape. I want to go through a couple of them. Okay. We've got some time here. Jonathan Allen.
You got the shoulder thing.
He's got arthritis in his shoulders. He's got had the shoulder surgery. Scout says he's one of the best players in the draft, but our doctors flagged him at the combine. He'll still go round one. Matt Miller predicts he'll go between picks 12 and 20. Much lower than originally stated.
12 and 20.
I've seen him dropping a little bit recently. I dropped him in my most recent mock. We'll get to that next.
Can I pose a question to you?
Sure.
Would it be crazy if a certain team drafting at 23 who has a defensive tackle that they're trying to sign, if they let said defensive tackle walk and they took Jonathan Allen?
Might not be as crazy as you thought. Are you worried about Jonathan Allen's shoulders? That he might not be the type of guy who makes it to his second contract?
A little?
A little bit, right?
Yeah.
A little bit. Alabama guys have come into the league a little beat up before, haven't they?
That's true.
Should it go down the list? His Joe Mixon. Scouts take. We can't draft him, but he'll be the best running back from this class. He's on par with Zeke and David Johnson.
That's high praise. That's, I don't know.
All right, the next guy here, Dalvin Cook, had a few off-the-field incidents, not necessarily an arrest or anything, but questions about who he hangs out with and what he's doing. Take that as you may, something I'll be saying a lot. Scout says, a pattern of bad decisions are alarming. With my job on the line, I trust Mixon a lot more than Dalvin Cook. Your reaction?
That's crazy, but I understand it. I think it's because Mixon has appeared sincere in his apology tour. I get it. I don't know if I have him that high. I mean, take away all the off-the-field stuff, Fournette is still the best running back in the class.
Not according to one scout who thinks it's Mixon anyway.
Okay.
So I really just loved hearing what the scout said about all these guys. Some of them are...
Is it the same scout?
No, I don't know who it is. It's whatever scout talks to Matt Miller. Corey Davis did not run at his pro day, did not run at the combine, dealing with the injury. Scout, I've watched 4 years of him on film. I don't care how fast he runs in a straight line. He's special. Well, you might not care how fast he runs on film, but John Ross ran a 4.22 at the combine. And Mike Williams ran a sub-4.6 and brings a lot of other skills. I love Corey Davis. Corey Davis is ninth on my board. I did a mock draft. I find it tough to think that an NFL team is going to take a chance on him coming from the small school without, you know, any of the workouts when they have guys like Ross and Williams there.
He's still a first-round pick.
Still a first-round pick, but you know what? He's a guy who I thought it could be a top-10 pick, possibly a top-5 pick. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's one of those things where that's how the scout that bangs the table for him, if he comes in, like, let's say, ninth to Cincinnati and busts out, like, that scout's not going to find work again. Right? Yeah. Like, you're taking a chance on the small round guy who they couldn't work out, they couldn't do all these things. When you have Ross and Williams there with a lot of tape and a lot of competition against, it's tough. Marshawn Lattimore, you know, he's not my favorite anyway, so I don't have the greatest reaction to him, you know, having injury issues, but, you know, we'll go through him. He's close to perfect from speed and instinct standpoint. We'll see what our docs say, but he's the best corner in the class on tape, according to the scout. You like him more than I. Are you worried about the injuries?
No. Only because, I mean, what I saw at the combine kind of backed up what I saw a little bit.
He did come up limping at the combine, which backs up what other people have seen too. John Ross, small guy. Scout says, you see a small guy with that many injuries, you wonder if his body can hold up to the punishment of the game. If you're getting John Ross punished, you're using John Ross wrong.
Right.
Throw the ball deep.
Yeah.
You hit him on a crossing route here or there, but just get him the ball in space, let him run.
Throw a screen. I don't know.
Here's an interesting one. Tim Williams. He's got off-the-field issues. He's got the arrest for carrying a pistol without a permit. You know, has had some bad decisions. Has admitted to failing multiple drug tests at Alabama. Scout says if he's failing tests at Bama, he's probably going to fail tests in the NFL. These things have a way of sticking around. I like Tim Williams. I liked Randy Gregory.
Okay. What? All right. This is...
I love when you say, I. You're like, I know we're going to get it.
What if, and this is very far-fetched. I mean, drug laws are changing.
Yeah.
Do you draft him if you think that, I mean, not, I mean, what if marijuana laws change? NFL rules have to change too, I guess.
Yeah, NFL rules are going to be a step behind, and he'll be done with his rookie contract by that time they do.
Yeah, all right, never mind.
This is me now showing Stan something that Tim Williams tweeted out today.
How long would it take to get to Alabama from here? I would definitely go to that.
What autograph I'm showing signing? Him is Tim Williams is having
at Hooters, no less.
Yeah, Tim Williams is having an autograph signing at Hooters, which is likely quelling any suggestion that he might be immature. You know,
yeah,
have off the field troubles.
Guy likes wings.
Everybody likes wings. Jake Butt had the ACL injuries. I think that dropped him down a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Scouts think that maybe we're taking this too much into account. This scout, I think he's there at the top of the second round, but maybe he falls to the third, but not much more than that.
That scout's getting fired.
Hey, listen, we talked a lot. We had a lot of conversations. Not only is Jake Butt a first-round pick before he was injured early in the season, but will he get drafted ahead of O.J. Howard? And I was like staunch for probably 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Jake Butt will get drafted first, even though O.J. Howard has been a top 10 player on my board the whole mm-hmm. season. I just kind of thought that Jake Butt's skill set fit more teams. Do you think Butt is getting drafted in the second round?
No.
Do you think he's getting drafted in the third round?
It's possible, but no. I think it's a day 3 draft. He's a day 3 draft pick.
I kind of think that he's a fourth round pick. DeeDee Westbrook. 2 domestic violence arrests. Let me see. He was accused of throwing the mother of 2 of his children to the ground in 2012. In 2013, was accused of biting the same woman's arm, punching her in the face with a closed fist. That is from Cody Stavenhagen at Tulsa World, who reported that. Matt Miller also adds that he was arrested for trespassing in 2016 when he tried to pick up his kids from their mothers and the mother wouldn't allow him in. Scouts take trouble. He's completely off our board. We couldn't believe this stuff when we started talking to folks there.
See, it's all about spin, man. You got to read the story the right way.
Age of spin, huh?
Age of spin.
That doesn't explain the first two, 2012 and 2013. That explains all right. 2016.
2016, he was just picking up his kids. He's reformed. He's changed.
Listen, I'm a...
The biting thing is, you can't really... Like, he's got, yeah, you got that one.
I have a very liberal mind, but when you're in college and you have to pick up 2 of your 3 kids because 2 of them are from one mother and the other's from another mother,
mm-hmm.
and you're having domestic violence issues at this point, you shouldn't have like a happy life in 3 kids necessarily in college. I couldn't imagine being in college. And like having that much responsibility,
right?
Like, and to add domestic violence on that is just scary. It's just scary.
I would draft DeeDee Westbrook.
Yeah,
just not high.
Sidney Jones, we already talked about, but let me mention because we were talking about what the scouts are talking. We're in Matt Miller's article. Might as well, you know, probably should just save it for the article. You should read the article.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Scouts love Sidney Jones. They had a first-round grade on him. You think he's still a first-round pick?
No.
Me neither.
There's too many safeties. Or corners, I'm sorry.
Too many corners. This is my favorite. We're moving on.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many corners. You got it exactly right. Malik McDowell. You like Malik McDowell?
He's all right.
I kind of don't like
Michigan State, right?
Michigan State.
D-tackle?
D-tackle, possibly a defensive end because he's a little – he's got athleticism. Matt Miller does a great job here putting off-field questions in parentheses. Kid's never been in trouble, never was arrested, no reason to think of it. He just kind of rubs people the wrong way.
Like a weirdo?
Maybe he's full of himself, takes plays off, question his work ethic, even though not that he has a bad work ethic, but they're not sure that he has a great work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
Scouts take, quote, "No one likes him. He's not a worker, but wants to be the face of the program. Another Connor Cook." End quote.
Wow.
I didn't like him anyway. I didn't like him before I heard that quote.
Okay.
I don't like him now.
I mean,
The Connor Cook thing is,
because I think we were talking about this last year, about Connor Cook. Wow.
I don't really like Connor Cook either.
Yeah, me neither.
All right. You know, it's just, you know, it's a slow time for the NFL draft. We're going to ramp up a little soon. But we're post-combine. We're into the pro days. It's kind of interesting to see how some of these guys who were really highly thought of still have their detractors. Mm-hmm. Reuben Foster having a team take him off the board. While Joe Mixon is visiting like 20 teams, it's weird. It's weird. I'm just saying.
That's interesting.
All right, we're going to come back. I did a mock draft that posted Monday,
mm-hmm.
and you were going to make fun of it.
That's what I do.
All right, free agency. It's not over, but all the major signings have kind of, you know, come and gone. Team needs have changed.
We argued last week about why the Giants seem to just do dumb things, and then they keep doing dumb things like sign Sean Drone.
Not a big fan.
Why take a tight end and a running back when tight end and running back are the deepest we've seen in the draft? Whatever, man.
Yeah, listen, man. They zag when you zig.
They always zag. They never zig. Some zigging would be nice.
Maybe next year.
Maybe. Anyway, you have a new mock out.
I did. I put a new mock out on FanRag on published on Monday.
Mm-hmm. You want to just run through it?
You don't have to run through it, but yeah, you got to make fun of it. People who want to read the whole thing, go to FanRag Sports, type in mock drift. It's right there.
Okay. So one through, I'd say...
Six. One through six.
One through six, fine. I like it. I like it all.
Number seven.
I don't have a problem. Yeah, I don't have a problem with Garrett, Foster, Hooker, all that.
Yeah. Number seven. The first time I've dropped Jonathan Allen lower than three or four to the Bears or to the Jaguars,
mm-hmm.
But I didn't have the heart to drop him as far as we talked that he might. Whether it's I've seen him mocked to the Redskins, I've seen him mocked, you know, to the possibly the Colts or the Ravens. I put him with the Chargers at seven. I think that would be an okay landing spot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this case, Malik Hooker and Jamal Adams are off the board, so safety would probably be a big need for the Chargers. Not a big need, but a place where they could, you know, really target. So I went with Jonathan Allen. This is where it got weird for you.
Yeah, because we were just talking about his shoulder.
Right.
So you're okay with his shoulder.
I'm not a doctor.
Okay.
I'm not going to pretend to be a doctor. And it's kind of like I don't take off the field issues into concern.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I don't know what happened. I didn't investigate it. And truthfully, it's not my money or job or reputation to draft this player.
All right.
So I look at what he did on film and what he would do at the next level if you drafted him. That's why Mixon is ranked number 24th on my board or whatever it is. That's why, you know, I don't have to, like, adjust. I don't have to adjust for Jonathan Allen's shoulder. The thing is that if the Chargers look at Jonathan Allen and their doctors say, you can't draft this guy in round one, then obviously he's off the board. Nobody said that, for sure. And while if I have to choose between Fournette or Allen, maybe the shoulder injuries are a tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, I think that Allen is a player who would be a great value with the 7th overall pick.
Okay. Next pick, I like Solomon Thomas to the Panthers. I believe they just signed Julius Peppers again, brought him back.
Yep.
So I like the idea that Solomon Thomas can learn from somebody like Julius Peppers.
Thomas also could, you know, he could bump inside, he could bump outside. Gives them a lot of flexibility up front, which is exactly what they want.
Number 9, I like Mike Williams to the Bengals. Like we were talking about last week, there's really been nobody outside of A.J. Green that's been making an impact. This could take some of the pressure off of really each other.
Yeah.
So I like that one. Number 10, Tre'Davious White. I like it. They just lost Gilmore. I like so far. This is good.
All right. You said you were going to make fun of me.
I'm getting there.
All right. Let's skip down to where you're making fun.
Like I said, 11 Quincy Wilson.
We talked about that with Malcolm Butler. Why would they trade the 11th overall pick for Malcolm Butler, who's going to be expensive and or gone after a year?
And you could get somebody potentially just as good or better that you can develop.
And it's cost controlled for 5 years.
Yeah.
I 100%. Would rather have Quincy Wilson than Malcolm Butler.
Here's where I disagree with you first.
Okay.
Number 12, you have
O.J. Howard.
O.J. Howard to the Browns.
It's actually been a popular thing I've seen in mock drafts. It's probably derivative.
Wouldn't they rather have a corner?
Sure. What corner do you want to put there?
Why not Quincy Wilson?
Because Quincy Wilson went 11 to the Saints.
All right. So, I mean, yeah, but okay. I know you're high on Cordarius Tankersley. Why not them?
Because no one else is high on Cordarius Tankersley. Truthfully, like, I'm trying to, like, this is kind of a, like, yeah, my heart is in there a little bit, and obviously you could see it, but if I'm the Bengals and I'm taking a receiver, I still like Corey Davis the best. Mm-hmm. Corey Davis has more question marks than Mike Williams at this point. I think Mike Williams is the safer pick and a pick that a GM might take. You know, for the Browns, I think that probably the next guy is Garyon Conley.
That's what I'm saying. Like, at this point, if you're looking at their big board, at 12, if they take O.J. Howard, they're taking best player available, right?
O.J. Howard is number 3 on my big board, so it's a great value.
But it's not a need. They have so many other needs.
You know what? For me, the Browns just take good players.
Okay.
You come out of this draft and you drafted in the first round Myles Garrett and O.J. Howard. You have two guys who are just going to be good players.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at the last time they drafted two players in round one. They came away with Justin Gilbert and Johnny Manziel. The time before that, it was, crap, who was it? It was Danny Shelton. Who else?
Danny Shelton and another quarterback.
I can remember a couple off the top of my head. It was Justin Gilbert, Johnny Manziel, drafted them both in the first round. They drafted Trent Richardson and Brandon Whedon in the first round.
They did, yeah.
And then once upon a time, they drafted, yes, Joe Thomas, but also Brady Quinn.
I don't think that was bad.
You know, because they got Joe Thomas, but have two first-round picks, get two good players.
Okay.
I think they've done that.
All right.
That's my justification.
All right, I like...
Plus, I don't have to keep dropping O.J. Howard, because tight ends, they just keep dropping, but O.J. Howard is good.
I don't think O.J. Howard would have dropped that far.
Well, I mean, you never know.
All right, so 13, you've got Trubisky to the Cardinals. I like it. Quarterback of the future. Eagles taking David Njoku. I'm only going to make fun of you because I don't want to have a guy I rooted for play for the Eagles, but whatever.
All right.
Hassan Reddick to the Colts.
Weird? It's a little weird. A
little high, right?
It might not be that high. It depends how they use him. If they're going to get some pass rush out of him, and the Colts need to get pass rush out of somebody... It makes sense. He's the kind of guy you could rush him as a 3-4 outside linebacker. You could play him in coverage. You could play him in the middle. He's versatile. I don't know that they'll use him use his versatility. They'll get the most out of him. But he's the kind of guy you can get a lot out of. It would be a reach on my board.
Mm-hmm.
because I don't think that he could hold up as a pass rusher. At least not, you know. He would be one of the smaller pass rushers to have a tremendous impact in NFL history. But he's a good player. And the Colts just, the Colts need good players. You know how bad the Colts roster is?
Yeah. We talked about this.
His roster is bad.
It's Andrew Luck and like 21 other guys.
The roster's got like, I don't know, they got like a couple really talented players at receiver. They've got, you know, some linemen who aren't so terrible.
Yeah.
They have Vontae Davis. It's rough. It's rough. Get him a good player.
So 16 is where I thought Hassan Reddick could start to get buzz to the Ravens. But you haven't taken Garen Conley, which I like. 17, you have John Ross to the Redskins, basically replacing DeSean Jackson, who signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
This is an interesting pick because it doesn't make any sense because the Washington Redskins are clearly trying to hang Kirk Cousins out to dry and giving Kirk Cousins a feasible option. You know, now you're talking about Josh Doctson, Terrell Pryor, Jordan Reed, John Ross. The offense still, after losing Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson, still has a chance to get better. I didn't even mention Jameson Crowder.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've got guys now. Again, I don't know. I have no idea what they want to do.
This is what the Redskins do. The Redskins confuse people because they go out and make a terrible signing, and then they make decent draft picks, or they refuse to sign their quarterback. Well, it's a long term, and then they draft their guy who's going to be a weapon for him.
They get annoyed with their general manager. They don't let him show up to the combine, or you know. Other offseason events, and then accuse him of being an alcoholic.
Yeah, and then they fire him, and
now they have no GM.
Didn't they hire, they talk about Mayock?
They talked about Mayock.
Why would they do that?
Mayock randomly just redid his positional rankings, and without giving any context or reason, placed Jabril Peppers as his number one safety over Malik Hooker and Jamal Adams and Buda Baker. And didn't even give a write-up. He just released, like, these are my new rankings, and just 1 through 5, 1 through 5, 1. Really, every single position had, like, 3 players tied for 5th so he can get their names in. It was very strange. Like, we all agreed that Jabril Peppers wasn't there, and I feel like you have to make the argument. If you're going to be on that corner, like, make the argument. I don't know. Whatever.
All right.
Moving on.
Titans taking Kadarius Tankersley, I like.
My man's.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking Derek Barnett. I think that's good. He's very productive. I love it. I really like that pick. Broncos taking Garrett Bowles. I like. That's a great fit, man. Like, selfishly, I'm upset about it, but
I think you just want him.
I need him, really. It's not even want at this point.
All right, does that mean we're skipping down to the Giants?
Yeah, we could do that. All right. Well, they just signed Sean Drone. I don't know if this makes sense.
Yeah, well, I made this mock before they signed Sean Drone.
Oh, man, just that platoon of Sean Drone, Orleans Darkwa, and Paul Perkins throwing Dalvin Cook in there. Jeez. Like, what are they? I don't know what they're doing. And this is why I have an issue with this, because this kind of makes sense. But I don't think they're going to do that. I don't know what they're going to do.
I'm surprised they haven't leaked the 3 players that they want teams to trade up in front of them to draft.
They have. Jerry Reese hasn't come out in a press conference and said it yet, but they're going to.
Oh, yeah.
Going to see Zach Cunningham at the pro day, that's a dead giveaway. Oakland Raiders taking Jabril Peppers. I love it.
I don't know why I did this. Because Oakland has, like, no, like, real holes. I have no idea what they're going to do. They have 2 holes. Running back. Dalvin Cook went a pick ahead of them. So, unless they're going to jump on Joe Mixon or Alvin Kamara here. No. The other hole is that linebacker. And I like Jared Davis. I really like Raekwon McMillan. Everyone has Raekwon McMillan going like late second round, and I'm not putting Zach Cunningham in any first round draft I ever do. It's just unless a team is just dead set, like we're drafting him. If they announce Zach Cunningham will not fall past us. Like, I'm not putting him in my first round because he doesn't look like a first-round player to me. So that's it. So I look at my board and I'm like, well, I have a team that is in a terrible spot where their holes don't match up to the board. So I looked for a player who is in a terrible spot because his skills don't match up to any team's needs because he's randomly good at some things and no one knows if he can play. So it kind of just somehow made sense.
I like it. He's just, plus he seems like a Raider.
I don't even know if he seems like a Raider.
I think he does. I don't know what other team, like, I could see him. Like, yeah, that guy. You know? Like, if you picture Jabril Peppers, where do you picture him?
I want to say Titan.
Okay.
If he did the Tony Jefferson thing and just put himself in all Madden jerseys, I think that the Titans is where he would land. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Tony Jefferson. Got to get my swag on.
This is a great guy.
Great guy.
Okay. Texans taking Deshaun Watson.
Right.
They just traded Brock Osweiler.
Good move.
They have who on the roster?
Tom Savage.
Who I like.
Good for you.
I don't think they necessarily need to make this move. I don't think they need to take a quarterback.
They don't.
I think they could take another player here at another position. And
what position?
Why not wide receiver?
Because they have DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller,
oh, yeah, okay.
Braxton Miller.
That's true. Okay. Why not? I guess there's no tight ends you could take here.
No, you could take Evan Ingram, but... You could take a tight end. I think you could take a tackle. If you like Ryan Ramczyk, like, this would be a place that makes sense.
Because you could... You could go into the season with Tom Savage and take Mahomes in, like, the second or third round.
Or even people have mocked Mahomes to them in round one, so obviously that's an option.
That's insane.
I think it's a little crazy. But.
Or, hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to sound a little crazy. All
right.
Take another position like we were talking about. Wait till day three, round four, maybe five. You take Brad Kaya. Why not? Bill O'Brien's a quarterback guy. You know, Brad Kaya is a game manager. You could, no? See, you guys can't see it, but Rob looks like his eyes just glazed over.
Why did Brad Kaya not run at the combine?
What does he need to run for?
Because everyone...
He's not a mobile quarterback. Because everybody does it? I don't know.
Like, when everyone's like, Brad Kaya might be like a terrible athlete. And Brad Kaya's like, I'm not going to run at the combine.
Yeah. It's 2017. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do whatever he doesn't want.
So we'll all just assume that we were correct, that he's a terrible, terrible athlete with, like, medium arm strength and mostly terrible mechanics and zero reason to believe that he'll ever
be like... When's the Miami Pro Day? Has it passed yet? I don't think it's passed yet. He could run that. All right.
They could grab a lot of guys as a luxury pick, but you want to know what? Deshaun Watson, in addition to being an okay value at this point in the draft, is in a position... ahead of Deshaun Kizer and Mitchell Trubisky in terms of his ability to come in and compete right away.
Mm-hmm.
And the Texans were a playoff team last year, and if Deshaun Watson did beat Tom Savage out for the starting job and proved to be an improvement over Brock Osweiler, they could be a 12-1 team.
I agree.
Even with just the fact that the rest of the roster is
good. I was just playing a little devil's advocate there.
No, it's fine.
Seahawks taking Forrest Lamp. I love Chiefs taking Corey Davis. I mean... I'd like to see him, you know, run, but I like it.
Listen, if he was healthy right now and he ran anything with a 4.4, I don't even care if it's 4.49 or 4.41, if he ran anything with a 4.4 in there, he would have been Mach 9 to the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
Or 5 to the Titans. I love him, but he's just injured and it just scares me, and I think it might not scare me off, but someone who's putting money into him might scare them.
Of course. Cowboys taking Carl Lawson, I like.
My mans.
I mean, that's a scary thought for me, but you know.
I've just been on the Carl Lawson. I saw somebody was just like, oh, Carl Lawson might be like one of the 20 best players in this draft. Like, oh, you're driving the Carl Lawson bandwagon. And I'm like, I have Carl Lawson, like, he's been as high as 2 and as low as 6 on my big board. And whatever. I just want to credit. I want to be the Carl Lawson guy.
No, you're driving the bus. I get it.
Thank you.
I'm just filling up with gas. The Packers taking Ryan Ramchick.
I love this one. I love this one, and I don't know why.
It's a Packers pick. It's such a Packers thing to do.
You get a Wisconsin offensive lineman. He could play guard, or you put him at right tackle and you let Bulaga play guard. He's just a tough guy. You know he's going to get the job done. Yeah, maybe he's not like going
to
be an all-pro.
Look, man, I'm just looking forward to Sunday Night Football when the Packers play the Cowboys and you hear Ryan Ramchick, Wisconsin. That's what I'm looking forward to. Because people are going to be like, who's this Ramsizik guy? This first deal, Charles Harris, great pick. I love it. I think
he doesn't seem like a stealer to me.
Who does at this point in the draft?
I would have said Hassan Reddick did.
I agree. Reddick looks like a stealer or a Patriot.
I would say Tim Williams does, but like not
because of the Dreads.
No, not even the dread. Just because of the attitude he brings.
Okay.
If you mixed
a Steeler would definitely have.
If you mixed James Harrison and Joey Porter, like, don't you kind of get like the Tim Williams, like, right between those personalities?
Yeah.
Like just outgoing enough to be like close to kind of Joey Porter, but kind of mean and stoic enough to be James Harrison. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that
Joey Porter would definitely have an autograph signing at Hooters in Alabama.
And James Harrison would definitely not have an autograph signing.
No, he would just sit down.
He would go to a diner and like eat a meal. Like his kids would watch him eat the meal,
right?
And then they wouldn't get to eat because they haven't earned it yet.
Because they took the participation.
It's just like when you get a job, you can go buy your own food. Yeah. Until that, you watch daddy eat. Yeah. Daddy earns the money.
Daddy is playing until he's 38.
He's the best.
Let's finish this up. I like the last two picks. Actually, not the last one. I like Atlanta Falcons taking Tack McKinley. Saints. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. It's not. Did they trade that pick? That's right.
They traded
for never mind. Patriots. I take it back. I like it.
You like it. You like
Cause
it.
Because I'm like, I was expecting to see the Patriots there.
Yeah. And I was like, I understand.
Okay. I see what you're saying. I like it. The Saints taking a tight end. Tell you the truth, I'd like it if they took another defender.
Yeah, I sure would, but I don't know. I just kind of exhausted the edge rushers there at that point. And, there's corners still available. There's guys. I mean,
what if they took a safety there?
Budda Baker? No. They just have so many safeties.
Yeah, that's true. That's
like
true.
They have Kenny Vaccaro. They have Von Bell. They got rid of Jairus Byrd. I mean, they could take Budda Baker and play him as, like, a nickel type. Like, he'll be there. He could play anywhere. You could play him at outside corner. You could.
Are they adventurous enough? Are they crazy enough? Wild enough? Bold enough to take that UConn guy?
I think they could. I like it. It makes sense because he could play corner. He could play corner too. I will say about Budda Baker, he's the only guy who I've given a first round grade, like a dead, no arguments first round grade, who didn't make my mock. And when I told you the difference between a first round grade and a first second round grade,
mm-hmm.
like a borderline, is when you get to picks number 30, 31, 32, do you just have to take that guy no matter what? And to me, Budda Baker kind of fits that mold. But with the Patriots trading out, the Saints don't have a needed safety. The Falcons don't have a needed safety. The Steelers don't have a needed safety. The Packers don't have a needed safety. And then the Seahawks didn't have a needed safety. It just came down to the fit wasn't exactly perfect there. I mean, I could have fit him in somewhere. I mean, could have fit him in Oakland instead of Jabril Peppers, but they just got Carl Joseph, so... Mm-hmm. I mean, Budda Baker could play strong safety too, just like Jabril, but I don't know. Budda Baker certainly could have been there. If you want to give Budda Baker to the Saints, I think that the Saints would be better off with Budda. I would take Budda if I was the Saints. I would have took Budda if I was like the Buccaneers at 19, but we'll see.
So that was your mock. I like it.
Thank you for liking it.
Yeah.
I have to say that I don't mean to brag.
Okay.
Let's see, I forwarded this. My mock is, quote, by far better than 95% of all other mocks. According to some Ravens fan who apparently liked.
Because he likes Gary and Conley, maybe?
Yeah, because he liked Gary and Conley. He must have been like an Ohio State grad who's living in Baltimore. Yeah. My mock is 95% better than all other mocks.
I'm curious to see how
I cut that phrase out of like a larger sentence, but There's a lot of typos in it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But it's whatever. I'm excited. I forwarded it to my editor.
A lot of Wire references in that comment.
No, that'd be the best. I should just do a whole Wire mock draft.
Snot Boogie's number one. Come on.
Snot Boogie.
All right.
Snot Boogie. All right, we're coming back. Gonna honor the great Dave Chappelle's new comedy special by talking about doing a big board of who will have the next classic comedy special. Yesterday, the legend, Dave Chappelle, dropped two comedy specials, Age of Spin and Deep in the Heart of Texas.
I saw them both. Long awaited.
You saw them both. Mm-hmm. I watched one. You know, you can't be staying up too late. But it was a great night for the 1 hour comedy special, which I grew up on, you know, waiting, you know, a month or 2 months for whoever it was at the time to have their special drop on Comedy Central
or HBO.
You probably remember HBO. Yeah. I was kind of like I was bigger and blacker in HBO,
mm-hmm.
So I remember Bigger and Blacker from Chris Rock when it came out. In recent years, the comedy specials, I'm not saying that they haven't been bad, but it's that anticipation that wasn't there. There's a lot of them. Bill Burr does one every year for a while. Louis C.K. did one every year.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they're on Netflix means they're not necessarily appointment TV.
Yeah, you can watch them whenever you want. Yeah, you don't miss it.
And we're never going to go back to that. We're never going to go back to where it was like, if you missed it, you can't get it on demand.
Dave Chappelle came pretty close. I know a lot of people that were really looking forward to it.
A lot of people were looking forward to
it. Carved their time around it. I personally downloaded it at work so that I could watch it on the train ride.
It's, you know, it's respectable.
Yeah.
In honor of that, our big board this week is going to be what comic, working comic,
mm-hmm.
would you imagine has the next killer 1 hour special? Mm-hmm. I'm talking the next one to put, like when you think of Killing Them Softly, you think of Roy, you think of Delirious, you think of Richard Pryor live on the Sunshine Strip. You think of one of, you know, George Carlin had a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about an all-timer 1 hour special. Who's got the next Chris Rock, Bigger and Blacker, where we all got to sit down, and if you don't catch it the first day, you have to catch it the next day, mm-hmm. because otherwise you're out of the loop.
Mm-hmm.
And this is interesting. Could be a young guy, could be someone who's a little bit more established.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do a big board starting 10 to 1. I'll go first. We'll go 10 to 6, then back and forth like we always do.
Gotcha.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for this one.
So am I.
Number 10,
mm-hmm.
John Mulaney.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. You have him on your list?
I don't.
He's low here because I think he's married now.
Two.
Didn't he get married? That's what he talked about in the Comeback Kid.
He did. Yeah, that's right.
Married. Okay. And Comeback Kid was great. New in Town was great. I'm not sure at this point that he is necessarily getting better. You never know, that might turn around. But I think he's really solid, and I think he is one of the best young working comedians.
If I had to guess, it'd be good because this is the first special he would do since his sitcom.
I think Comeback Kid was after the sitcom failed.
Was it recorded before?
I guess I don't know. I don't know that much. All right. Number 9, you kind of talked me into her.
Mm-hmm.
I moved Eliza Schlesinger up here.
I've got her on my list.
All right. Great. Number 8, Anthony Jeselnik.
I've got him on my list as well.
Number 7, Bill Burr. This is a weird one. He's too established.
I left him off because he just came out with one.
He comes out with one every year. Yeah. And at this point, he's probably never going to have like an appointment viewing special. He's just going to be something that you look back,
yeah.
and he did like 15 great specials.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's now a dad.
That's, yep.
Did
that's
he record the one that just came out? He recorded, I'm assuming, before he had. He has the chance to make the 1 hour dad special where he doesn't go into the cliches about being a dad.
Right. If anybody could do it.
Louis C.K. kind of did it. Like, the difference between him before the kids and him after the kids wasn't great. And he talks about his kids in a really unique way.
Yeah.
But he also, like, his show, Louis,
mm-hmm.
and everything, like, that's a great look at his fatherhood. Bill Burr has the chance to take what Louis did for singles or you know, split parent fatherhood in mm-hmm. that show, mm-hmm. Bill Burr could do in an hour.
Okay.
And number six, Dave Chappelle. Right. I know it kind of doesn't make sense. He just had his special.
Was that the third one?
I wasn't even crazy about it. I'm not even talking about the third one. But just the fact, you know what? Dave Chappelle is brilliant. He's the most talented living comic.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree? I think he's got the highest upside of any living comic. I know, maybe Chris Rock. Eddie Murphy doesn't count because he's been out of work for so long.
But Chris Rock has delved into filmmaking and directing so much.
Dave Chappelle is the guy who could just slay.
Yeah.
And the circumstances would have to be right, but I think he's still got a chance to give us one more A+ and put something up that's, you know, on par with Killing Them Softly or For What It's Worth.
Okay.
Just saying. All right, you're 10-1.
All right, I've got some honorable mentions real quick. I'm just going to throw in Aida Rodriguez.
Okay.
She did Last Comic Standing. She's very good. I've seen her live at a Comedy Cellar. Hilarious. I think Chris D'Elia is another one. If you like, he did an hour before,
yeah,
and I loved it, and I think he's got the potential to have a really good hour. That being said, number 10, LeVar Ball. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I'm sure who's LeVar Ball? You got me.
LeVar Ball. Man. He definitely believes he could do it. All if right. any, if anybody, he thinks his sons could do it. Anyway, right. Number 10, Mark Normand.
Okay.
I think Mark Normand is a star in the making. He's currently opening regularly for Amy Schumer. Just an absolute monster.
I like Mark Normand.
Yeah, he's great.
I've seen him before.
Number 9, I've got Chelsea Peretti.
Okay, I have her on my list.
She's just the right mix of funny and weird. The only reason she's so low for me is I'm curious to see how involved she is with Jordan Peele, her husband.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So I don't know.
How is she not Marnie from Girls' character in Get Out?
Right? I get it. She's more serious, though. You know, we wouldn't take it seriously if it was Chelsea Peretti.
I wouldn't take anything seriously that Chelsea Peretti did.
Right? Number 8. I've got Rachel Feinstein.
Mm-hmm.
You've got her on your list?
Got her on my list.
All right. We'll talk about that. Number 7, Ron Funches.
Okay.
Love Ron Funches. Great comedian. It's funny that I have him and Chris D'Elia on the same list when they've done a show together. And number 6 is where I have Jeselnik.
Jeselnik.
Yeah.
All right. I something about Jeselnik. I know he's...
I was just listening to parts of Thoughts and Prayers today.
I could always listen to Thoughts and Prayers. Thoughts and Prayers is very good, but the fact that he's got those one-liners... I don't think Mitch Hedberg... Did Mitch Hedberg ever have that hour that...
No, he did half hour.
I think I've seen him twice do a half hour mm-hmm. that was just spectacular. It's hard to get those one-liners and string them together for an hour.
He would have got there, though.
He would have got there. Even in Thoughts and Prayers... He does about what? He does about 35, 40 minutes of mm-hmm. one-liners, and then he does like a 20-minute story.
Yeah. The Bible story?
No, the 20 minutes is the thoughts and prayers part.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the Bible story is kind of long, but it's still like an extended four one-liner.
Minutes, really.
It's like an extended one-liner. It is. Oh, there's something about, like, he's got such a unique style to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes it so seriously that I would say he has a shot.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got a shot at it. So my number 5.
Number 5
is Feinstein.
Okay.
I just love her.
Yeah.
I think that
always have. Yeah.
Not only is she's got real great chops. She's real. What are a few things that she's been in? Because now we're in the top 5. I want to make sure that, you know,
TV shows.
Anything. Where would, you know, our NFL draft lover find her? I mean, I know she's often in
Inside Amy Schumer. She's done a bunch of stuff. She's got.
She was one of the 4 comics in Women Being Funny.
Yeah,
she did. No, Women Who Kill.
No, the Bonnie McFarlane one.
No, I'm sorry. She was in. No, but yeah, but she was in the with Amy Schumer and Nikki Glaser.
Yeah,
and
I forgot what they call that.
I think that was Women Who Kill.
She's been in a
few. Yeah, you see her. She's in the new show Crashing. She has a small part in Trainwreck. She's in
Crashing? Oh yeah, she's in the pilot. She's in the pilot. Yeah, in a scene with Keith Robinson, Marina Franklin, and Greer Barnes. Greer Barnes could make this list too, man.
She could be in a lot of shows and movies if she chose to be. And I think she's one of the more well-respected comics.
Yeah.
Working now.
Another one who works a lot with Schumer, opens for her on a regular basis.
And really, until Schumer broke out very recently, you know, wasn't opening for Schumer, was Schumer's peer.
Right.
At the top until, of the, yeah, the until, top level. Yeah, until of that.
Schumer kind of broke out.
All right, so you got your number five.
Cat Williams. I think if Cat Williams gets sober, he really dedicates himself, he could really put out a monster special. Like Pimp Chronicles, the three specials he put out. He put out three specials in like what seemed like 2 years.
Cat Williams, unfortunately, will every time you put him on, immediately starts making like my girlfriend laugh hysterically.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me laugh. I don't think that he's putting out that killer special. I think that he's more likely to be
fighting eighth graders.
I was going to say that someone else who does a killer special might do an impression of him in their special. Might be more likely.
I could see that.
My number four, Dan Soder.
Oh man, could we share a brain?
Is he number four?
Yeah. I didn't write it down, but I knew in my head that's exactly where I wanted to put him.
Dan Soder, I think he's got a lot more talent than he's shown. You've seen his original hour special. I didn't even know that he had the hour special yet. I've just seen him, you know, bits and pieces here.
Like something in Tucson.
He's on Billions.
He's great on Billions.
He's
auditioned for Saturday Night Live at least twice. I don't understand it.
I saw him talking about his audition tape. You showed
me.
I think he's just got a lot of potential to really hit one out of the park and to kind of grow into the next Bill Burr.
He is a monster, which is ironic because they call him Monster Voice. Okay.
So my four, your four. My number three, my man Hannibal Buress.
Yeah, okay. The only reason I didn't put him on mine was because Comedy Comisero, I forget what that was, the last special, it kind of, I don't know. It didn't hit for me. Yeah. The one before that, I forgot the name, but
Love Chicago.
That was good, and it was good. Even
was it Animal something?
I don't remember.
Whatever it was, that was.
But cool. I saw, like, there was a span where I saw him twice in like the same weekend. Like we saw him.
Animal Furnace was before that.
It was after that. We saw him at the Patrice benefit.
Yeah.
But I can't remember if it was the weekend before or the weekend after. I saw him out in Westbury, at the Westbury Theater, and he crushed. Same jokes, still crushed. Like, I saw him, I couldn't, hysterical. But I think his last special kind of was down. I was down on it, so that's why he didn't
bother. To me, Burris just kills. Every time I see him, he's killing. He shows up in Broad City, he's killing.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the perfect energy for it. Completely unique. And I think he's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
You're number three.
My number three, I'm going to put Elijah Schlesinger here.
All right. That's big praise.
I mean, I love everything about her. I love her energy. I think she's got good writing chops. I think she's super cute without trying to be cute.
Is that sexist that was involved? Because I didn't talk about how cute Hannibal Buress is. He is cute.
He's very cute, especially
he's not like, trying he's not to be cute, glasses but he's
anymore.
Cute.
He's not wearing glasses anymore.
He's
cuter
with the glasses.
Yeah.
I think he's cuter with the glasses.
Okay. Little beady eyes is weird. All right. But yeah, that's where I'd put her for me.
All right. So my number two is where I had Chelsea Peretti.
Okay.
First of all, and I didn't take the Jordan Peele thing into account. And you know what? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
She's obviously hilarious. She's perfect on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably, am I wrong? She's probably a little bit too weird and off kilter to be like you know, the lead comedic actor in a movie or become a movie star or get away from the comedy. Would I be wrong?
Yeah.
I am wrong.
No, you're right.
I mean, I could see her starring in a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I see her starring in, like, in a network TV show. Like, she's never going to be, like, Amy Poehler, where, mm-hmm. like, acting is going to be her main. Like, her gig, I think she's a stand-up. She's a stand-up, and I think, based on, well, her last special was One of the Greats.
Yeah. Very creative. I loved it.
That's the thing. It's the perfect mix of traditional stand-up and pushing the envelope to a new level.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, One of the Greats was really good, but it wasn't great. But you know what? If she just hits for an hour,
mm-hmm.
all that other stuff and her energy, it'd be memorable. I think she's right in that ballpark. Your number two.
My number two is Chris Rock.
Listen, totally fair.
I mean,
he's done it before. You do it again. Yeah. Well, I mean, I capped Chappelle at five because when you've done it already, that you already set the bar so high. But, and, I mean, Chris Rock obviously set the bar high, mm-hmm. but yeah, you never know, man. They strike genius, and it's the same thing as who's more likely to hit 73 home runs was after Barry Bonds did it. And it was just like, well, Barry Bonds was the most likely guy to break his own record because we've seen him do it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, we always like to project the next guy to come up and do that. But sometimes the guy who's done it is the guy who can do it again. He's proven. So I get it.
It was difficult because there's a guy I realized I didn't say and I should have put him. And I wrote it down. So now I feel like I got to knock somebody out to pull him in there. So I'm just going to like a 2A.
Okay.
Aziz.
All right. Oh, I kind of thought based on the way this went, I thought Aziz was going to come in at number one.
There's a guy that I have at number one that I think is nobody's talking about him, and they should. And
I think I know who you're talking about, and I'm already upset that I didn't put him on my list. All right. Before I get to my number one, just a couple of guys who I really thought. For the same reason that you put Chris Rock and I put Dave Chappelle,
mm-hmm.
Louis C.K.
Yeah.
I mean, right there, he's already put out, you know, three really great specials,
mm-hmm.
a couple more other ones. He's got other interests that he's going to be a great director, or a great writer. He still's got a chance.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mike Birbiglia.
Oh, Mike Birbiglia.
Birbiglia. I think he's always a shot to jump out and do something
Thank
crazy.
God for Jokes is a good special.
I think that Rachel Bloom.
Okay. Yep.
You know, as a stand-up, she's not as established as some of the other people we talked about, but as a creative mind,
mm-hmm.
and if we're looking for like an old-timer, like, being creative is great. Wyatt Cenac.
Yep.
I kind of think that the same reason, I don't know, he's got some brilliance in him to do something a little bit special.
Mm-hmm.
My number one, out of all these guys, and it's the same reason why Wyatt Cenac's there, someone who's just got something a little bit special, like he's just waiting to kind of put a full hour of perfection together, Michael Che.
Yeah. The only reason I left him out was because he just came out with Michael Che Matters. So I think it's going to take him some time. But when he does it, it's going to be killer.
I mean, saying that Michael Che over Chappelle or Chris Rock or Louis C.K., I mean, those guys have done it.
But if we're projecting.
If you're projecting, like, out of all these guys, there's like a twinkle in Michael Che's eyes when he's about to be funny.
Yeah.
And nothing makes me happier.
Yeah.
So I put him number one, not only because I think he could do it, but I want to root for him to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, you're number one.
Well, I want a couple more names that I just popped into my head. Greer Barnes, I don't see how it hasn't happened already. Marina Franklin, Keith Robinson, these are all people I think that have that potential. Pete Holmes, even, on Crashing. I mean, Pete Holmes is, he could do it. But my number one is Gary Gulman.
I knew it.
Gary Gulman.
Joke writer.
Dude, a surgeon.
Yeah.
Like, if you're getting into stand-up, if you want to get into stand-up, like, there's no one you should be watching other than Gary Gulman. When you talk about a guy that trims all the fat off of a joke to get it to its purest form, you talk Gary Gulman. Like, he's really our generation Seinfeld, where he doesn't waste anything. Like, he just, there's not a word out of place. There's not a word. Just one of my favorites.
Not going to get an argument here.
This has been great.
This has been a long episode of the NFL Draft Podcast. Has been,
yeah.
Somehow we managed to do it every week.
Yep.
Follow us at NFL Draft Podcast on Twitter.
Email us at
draftpodcast@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.
Peace.